Turn with me to Matthew 15. It's a good night to die, isn't it? Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew chapter 15. 15. Matthew 15. Praise God. Is everybody with me? I'll start at verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?" It's like, you know, isn't it time to come out of the carnal world of a form of godliness? But you've created your own traditions and it's prevented you from actually doing the will of God because of traditions handed down. And we've talked about traditions that have prevented people from getting baptized in the Holy Spirit because the traditions from men that have been preached down. Those are traditions. And traditions bring you in bondage, but the Spirit brings you freedom. Amen? And verse 4 it says, and Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." So we see here something very important about honoring your mother and your father, regardless of what. Regardless of how they've treated you. It has nothing to do with how you're to still honor them. Now, you may not respect them in that area, but you must forgive them. It doesn't mean that you exalt them and put them high, on a high platform. Amen? But it means you still honor them and who they are, regardless of whether they fulfilled their position or not. Amen? You honor them. Why? Because it says, anyone who curses them will be put to death. In verse 5, "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it is a gift from God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you make the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions." So the word of God becomes no effect to us because of traditions. Does everybody understand that? He said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now that's powerful because here Jesus says there is an honor that is acceptable to him and then there's an honor that is unacceptable to him. Amen? In other words, people have a false honor. They try to play the role but can't fulfill it. They have a false honor. Oh, they can do all kinds of forms of religious movements, but they really don't have a relationship. Because he said, if you have that relationship, you'll, first of all, honor my commands. By honoring my commands, you'll honor your mother and your father. You'll honor them, regardless of what. You know, there have been many people who have been brought up, abused, whatever. That's irrelevant. Because that's over with, right? Now it's time to honor them and their position and who they were or who they are. It doesn't mean that we're going to degrade them and so forth. Amen? We're just to honor them. That's it. And honor is a representation of to esteem, to respect, to support, even to assist in laboring and so forth. Did you ever notice that so many times when somebody would be frustrated with someone else or angry at someone else, or you know, there's anger or unforgiveness in certain areas in families' lives, that once one of them begins to go help the other one all of a sudden forgives them. But see, forgiveness should have came ahead of time, right? No, there's something that we want to do. We want to maintain honor. We want to maintain this position of honor. Honor is not self-exaltation. Honor is not to take advantage of. Honor comes from God. Honor. Amen? Would you turn to 1 Timothy with me? Maintaining honor. First Timothy chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In verse 17. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So many times, you know, as a believer, people get caught up in this area where they want more money. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit more money. The thing is they fight, they struggle, they grumble, they complain to get more money. But see, if you're in a position where there is honor due to you because it says a laborer is worth his wages, and it doesn't mean about laboring at work, it means laboring unto the Lord. Because if you're truly laboring unto the Lord in everything that you're doing, and you're not caught up in what you're making at work, but you're caught up in laboring unto the Lord and being that vessel of honor, that witness out there, God always promotes you. Amen? He'll always promote you. The only reason why some people haven't gotten further along is because they're still struggling and working towards money instead of towards honor. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And Revelation chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. It's real quiet in here tonight. Is everybody all right? You can repent later. That's not a big deal. Revelation. Oh, yeah, now's pretty good too. Right? Revelation chapter 4. In verse 9. Would you read it with me? Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will, they exist and were created. So we see that there's another honor, and it's called reverence, isn't it? It's an area where we pay homage. You know, we reverence the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's where all honor and glory is due. Even when you're honored, all glory and honor should always go to the Lord. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
You know, so many people, you know, take that in a wrong way. I remember when I was coming up as a new believer in Christ, and I would be around some of my family members, and they would say, it's so good to see that you're clean and you're doing this, and I'd say, to God be the glory. And they'd say, no, wait a minute. No, I'm glad that you're clean and you're... No, I'd say, to God be the glory. He deserves all the honor. Yeah, but you're the one that did it. No, I didn't. You know, you can go back and forth. I mean... It would be ridiculous. And because He deserves all the glory and honor. You know, and there's going to be a day when you and I are going to fall before Him and worship Him and bring home crowns, things that we labored for because we labored for them for him, not for us. And every bit of these crowns is going to be laid before him, and all honor and glory be unto him. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So there's a place that you and I can maintain honor, which is a representation of esteem or even respect, honored from God, favor, that's a representation of honor. There's a place where you and I can be positioned, and there's certain things that you and I must do to maintain in this area and in this arena. But first of all, we must understand about honor. Honor is not to be prideful. Amen? It's not to be prideful at all. It is not for self-exaltation. It is not to be abused or to gain individuals or manipulation to gain things. Honor is a place of position that God puts us so that he can honor us, and in honoring us, he's being glorified. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 91. In fact, in the book of Esther, it talks about an individual, her uncle named Mordecai, who was honored, right? I mean, he got honored big time. And he saved the king's life. But God honored him, didn't he? And he put him in position then. Of course, he put his niece in position first. In Psalm 91. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Now, honor can come in small packages and big packages, right? But honor is honor. Psalm 91 and verse 14. He says, because he what? Set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now that's relationship, isn't it?
Amen.
I will set him on high because he has known my name. Well, that's relationship. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. That's relationship. And I'll be with him in time of trouble. That's relationship. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, that's honor. That's honor from God. But there was something that had to be done. If you read the first verse, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's relationship. Then in verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That's relationship. Oh, you can read the Word and study the Word all you want. But until you get to that place where there is relationship, in fact, the Bible tells us that those who are close to the Lord, God reveals hidden treasures, hidden mysteries. Amen? You don't get revelation until you get closer to God. Revelation is an encouragement to get even closer. And sometimes revelation is a reward and honor from God to you because you have sought him with all of your heart. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So it says that he would deliver us and honor us. Glory to God. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Is everybody there? In verse Proverbs 15 and verse 33. Well, actually, let's start at verse 31, okay? The ear that hears the rebukes of... Is everybody there? You can read it with me, okay? The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The first thing that must be maintained is humbleness. To maintain honor, or a vessel of honor, a position of honor, which we are known as vessels, the first thing that we must always walk in is humility, or being humble. Amen? You must be able to be taught. That's a part of humbleness, isn't it? You still must be able to be taught. You've got to be willing not to try to prove that you're right. Because there's only one right anyways. Even if you think you're right. Praise God. So the first thing that we have to do is maintain humility, or maintain a humble spirit. In Psalms 49, Psalm 49, maintaining honor. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 49. Praise God. Read verse 20 with me. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish. In other words, if God is putting you in a position of honor, but yet you don't understand, or you've lost understanding, you are a danger. Has everybody got that? There are many people who have been, God has honored and put in positions, but they've misused it. They've lost the understanding of who put them there. And they become a danger to others and to themselves. That's why God exposes, doesn't He? He exposes. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. You know, there are individuals who misuse their position. And they are a danger. Proverbs 26 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? As snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. A fool. And we don't want to be known as fools. People who misuse the honor that God has given them and the position are known as fools. Amen. Some people haven't maintained the honor position because they've neglected certain things. Amen. God wants to honor all of His children, doesn't He? He's not a respecter of person. He wants to honor all of us in some way or another. But He said, Him who loses sight of understanding is known as a fool, because God wants to honor us. So a fool won't maintain honor, will he? Hallelujah. Honor is not fitting for a fool. Many want honor, but haven't earned it yet. Haven't earned it yet. People try to put themselves in a position of honor, but they haven't earned it yet. Amen? God calls them a fool. Proverbs 19. Now let's go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Maintaining honor. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 3. Read it with me. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Honor for a man to stop striving. Coming against the will of God, quarreling with the mouth of things they don't even understand. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now go to Proverbs 19. And start at, I go to verse 15 and 16. Read that with me. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Yow. Careless of his ways will bring no honor. God is looking for an individual that is looking and how to maintain his ways, isn't he? If somebody is careless in his ways, they will not receive the honor from God. Amen. It's like double-mindedness, isn't it? The only thing they'll receive is dishonor. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you know, so many times, it's not just about sinning. You know what I'm saying? It's not just about sinning, being careless in your ways. Because there may be certain things that may not be sin, but they could be careless and could be a stumbling block to someone else. Amen? So it's not just about outright, what we call outright sin, but all disobedience is sin. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise God. Everybody all right? In verse 12, somewhere around there. Let's see, we'll start verse 11. Ooh, let's start at verse 9. Ooh, hold on a second. Genesis 1:1. No, hold on. In the beginning. Let's go to verse 9. Read it with me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which what? War against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So your conduct has to be upright before God. Amen? In our conduct being up all right, we must come to a place of obedience. Amen? Obedience is honor. Has everybody got that? So the first thing we talked about is walking in a humble spirit. The next thing that we must do is be obedient. In little and in big. And whether it's sin or not sin. Because disobedience is sin regardless of what. What may be all right with someone else may not be all right with you. Amen. In the eyes of God. Hallelujah. So we must have an honorable conduct. Go to Psalm 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 15. Of course, we're going to have seven steps in maintaining honor, right? Seven meaning complete and perfect, right? Let's read this whole psalm. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved and shall be honored. Amen. That's a conduct of an honorable conduct. Amen. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So it's a wonderful thing to be abiding in God's presence, he says. So who can abide in your tabernacle? He's saying, okay, who can abide in your presence? And these are some of the requirements of abiding in God's presence, isn't it? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Simple, short teaching tonight. To God be the glory. Proverbs what? Chapter 3? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 6, would you read it with me? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. One of the third thing we want to do is sow honor. In other words, what you sow is what you what? Reap. You want to sow honor. So the Lord says, honor him with your first possessions. Honor him with the first fruits. Honor him. How can you expect to receive honor if you've not honored him? So there's a time when you've got to sow honor. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to Jeremiah 18. So we have one, we have to have a humble spirit. Number two, we have to be obedient. Number three, we sow honor. Sowing honor. Jeremiah chapter 18. Would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words. Hallelujah. Welcome to the potter's house. And you're here tonight. He's caused you to hear his words.
Amen.
Then I went down to the potter's house. And there he was making something at the wheel. The wheel represents the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of true ministries and total freedom, can I not do with you, with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, So are you in my hand, O house of true ministries and total freedom. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise. So we are in the potter's hand. The whole thing that we have to do is we've got to be willing to allow him to mold us.
Amen.
Hello? Oh, we all want to be honored by God, but then we're not willing to pay the price. And there is a price to pay, isn't there? You've got to be willing to allow God to mold you. And sometimes as he's molding you, you may think things are just going wonderful. All right. You're getting blessed from God. You're being honored by God. Well, the next thing you know, the rug's pulled out from underneath you. What happened? What did I do wrong? Obviously, there's something you missed. Hello? Or there's something you're about to do that he's rescuing you before it happens again. So he puts you back on the wheel and he says, okay, boom, smash, and our little feelings get hurt. Oh God, you've left me. How come I'm the only one this ever happens to? Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. People have a tendency to run from the wheel instead of letting God mold them. Those individuals will never be honored until they get back on the wheel. Hello? Praise God. Now, just, you know, think about what King David went through, right? Right? Think about what Joseph went through. I mean, King David was, he was called, right? Chosen to be, to replace the king, King Saul. He had to fight a giant. And then he was hunted by his father-in-law. But he respected the anointing and God honored him. Everybody got that? And God honored him for doing that. Joseph was sold by his brothers. I mean, he had to go through hell, didn't he? He was going through the molding, wasn't he? He was sold by his brothers. He was put into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was in prison, beaten, rejected, positioned, and honored. So our mere afflictions are only but for a moment, right? God is trying to honor us and get us in position to honor us and maintain this honor that he's given us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 19. Romans 19. Praise God. Can everybody hear me? Okay. It's a little late to ask that now, huh?
Romans what?
19.
Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 19. Romans 9. Romans 9, 19. Hallelujah. We're just going to add a few chapters on there. Praise God. Let's start at verse... That's not too far away. Would you read it with me? Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? You know how many times people blame God for the way they're made? You did it. You made me this way. Now let's go to verse 21. Does not the potter have the power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another one for dishonor? Woo. What if God, wanting to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make them known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Wow. So one thing is going to happen. You're going to either end up as a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, right? And we want to maintain this position of a vessel of honor. Just because you've been a vessel of honor doesn't mean that you can't fall out of position. You can. Things are not over with yet. God is still on the throne and still has the last say. Not us. Amen? You know, and the one thing is, we know he does know the intentions of our heart, doesn't he? And he's trying to express them and show them to us so that we can maintain this vessel of honor. Not knowing his will brings dishonor. He will, but knowing his will what? Bring honor. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 3. Would you read it with me? For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So another thing that we must do is possess our own vessels. And we do that by sanctification, which is the fourth thing. Separation. Sanctification. Not in lust of the heart or lust of the mind. Not in doing your own will. Amen. But in possessing your own vessel, as in sanctification. Why? Because Daddy wants to exalt you, doesn't he? He wants you to be the express image and likeness of who he is and what his heart is. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 9. Vessel of honor. Maintaining honor. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a what? Chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? So many people run from the true call of God because they're afraid of a little suffering. You know what that means? They've got to endure. They've got to endure the ways and the temptations and the things of the world. They've got to endure and overcoming the lusts of the world so they can become a vessel of honor. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. So the fifth thing that we must do is to endure. Has everybody got it? The fifth thing that we must do is endure. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. We all know the scripture by heart by now. Be sober, be what? Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, you know what? This scripture, people think sometimes that the devil is going to just come before them and say, hey, I'm the devil. Right? They think it's going to be so obvious. And let me tell you, he's seeking whom he can devour. That means it's not going to be obvious. It's not going to be obvious. He's going to implant in you and shoot darts and arrows at you of lust of the world. He's going to deceive you because the Bible says that in the latter days many will be deceived by seducing spirits. He's going to try and seduce you out of the will of God and get caught up in the will of man. Well, you may not be drinking anymore. You may not be drugging anymore. You may not be doing other things anymore, but are you really doing the will of God? If you're not doing the will of God, you're not enduring. Amen? Are you doing what God has called you to do? What's He placed in your heart to fulfill? If you're not doing that, then you can't be honored. Amen? It says in verse 9, resist him, what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we're all going through it. Some of them are enduring, and some of them are not. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, endured, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you for what? Honor. But you got to endure. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 12. Let's read it together. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, or honored is the man who endures temptation. Now, how's the devil going to tempt you? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. I know, hey, man, I have a relationship. I'm all right. I'm just not doing God's perfect will. You will eventually end up as a dishonored vessel. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Yow. Then when desire or lust, has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin is a representation of the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what?
Death.
Or dishonor vessel. Amen? You know, it hurts my heart so many times because individuals get led away by the lusts of the world. They get led away. whether it be by money or by opposite sexes or whatever it may be. But those are the two major things that move people out of the position. Amen?
Amen.
Money and the opposite sex. Quickly. Oh, we're just fellowshipping. Right. Fellowshipping. Hallelujah. It says endure temptation, not entice it. Praise God. Revelation chapter 3. Don't make excuses. Sanctification says, come out from among them. Don't be unevenly yoked. You want to be a vessel of honor or dishonor? Oh, we're just friends. Right. And verse 17. Because you say I know it all. Oh. Because you say I am rich. Have become wealthy. Yeah, man. I don't need no help. I'm cool. And they have need of nothing. I got everything. God has just blessed me tremendously. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Oh, Daddy knows exactly what's going on. But the outward appearance seems wonderful. Oh, new cars, new house, all this wonderful stuff. But you're wretched, miserable, blind, poor in spirit, and naked. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments. Obviously, they had spotted garments. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, because it's going to be exposed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. In other words, pull the plank out of both of those eyes. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Whoa. The sixth thing that we have to do is be willing to accept counsel and correction. I had a call yesterday from the jail. And one brother who had graduated from here and another brother who had not graduated. Well, they were in the buddy plan. And they called. And they got on the phone. And I shared with both of them, you know why you're in there. I said, because you rejected the counsel of the Lord. The one was told already, when he left, he wasn't going to make it. Even though he graduated. The other one refused counsel of the Lord and was constantly trying to restore his family. So now they're on the buddy plan. Hallelujah. Why? Because they rejected the counsel and correction from the Lord. Amen? So many people think, well, that's just a man's opinion. When they come to the office for counsel, they think it's the man's opinion. You know why? Because they're blinded and they're not enduring temptation. They've already bitten the hook. Once you bite the hook, the blinders come on. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise God. Of course, the devil tells me, man, you're just trying to keep me here to make more money. And you know, they didn't realize how much money they cost us. And then I had to accept their collect call. Hallelujah. Spiritual fathers are always paying. Praise God. paying and praying. I'll wait till you get there. You can laugh today. Praise God. Wait till you get there.
Sounds like my dad talking.
Hallelujah. We've all heard that. How many times have our families tried to tell us, please don't do this. There's a better plan. No way. I know it all. I'm 18. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our own bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. Obviously, you know number 7. Death. Death. Dying to self. Matthew 16. Woo-hoo. You didn't think you're going to get away without death, did you? Come on. Man, this is the house of death. People leave the program, they go, you know, when some people leave ahead of time, when they leave the drug program, they go around telling them, that's all they do is walk around and tell people to die. You don't like it? Die. Why resist death? It's a lot easier. Just die. It's because they don't have understanding yet. That's why. Hallelujah. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to his disciples. Everybody there? Do we have any disciples in the house tonight? Praise God. Die. Get your mind out of the gutter and die. Praise God. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. And I want to close with the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So we see Jesus died to self in the garden, didn't he? Amen. Then his physical death, right? And then God honored him, rose him from the dead. Amen? Amen? But he had to first physically die to himself, didn't he? He had to die to himself, then physical death, and then he was honored. Well, you don't have to wait till you physically die to be honored. Just self-death is quickly. Amen. 2 Timothy. And don't abuse your position. Because if you abuse your position, you're an open target. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is like the whole conclusion of this whole teaching, isn't it? But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. One or the other. How many of y'all want to be a vessel of honor? Amen. Then there's seven things you need to do. You need to walk humbly, right? You need to be obedient. You need to sow honor. You need to, what's the next one? Be sanctified. The fifth one is you need to endure. The sixth one is you need to receive correction and direction and counsel, of course. Counsel and correction. And the seventh one is honor comes with death to self. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let it get in your spirit. Walk it and depart from evil. Father, we thank you for your word. We honor and respect you, Lord. And in honoring and respecting you, we want to be obedient. So Lord, we take this opportunity and we repent for all the areas that we have touched in our life that is contaminating our vessel to be dishonored. Lord, purge us, prune us, mold us, for you are the potter and we are the clay. Establish us to be vessels of honor and teach us, Lord, through your word to maintain honor, that glory and honor could be brought to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.